no secret what you all do for us every Sunday. Thank you so much. I appreciate very much the music and the inspiration you provide for us through that gift. As you all have heard me say many times, music is the heart of our worship, and we are very, very blessed. But today we also get a special treat because you all have been given a bag with candy in it, have you not? Did you know that their candy is actually mentioned in the Bible? Did you know this? Yes, 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 it's true. Butterfingers. Okay? And you're saying, Don, who had Butterfingers in the Bible? Come on, this is a Bible test. Bible test, who had Butterfingers in the Bible? Jesus. Okay, this isn't the children's sermon where, you know, a squirrel was the answer is Jesus. No. All right. No, Adam and Eve. And you say, Adam and Eve, how they have Butterfingers? They let paradise slip right through their hands. Oh, yes, yes. We have some cat people. I was more of a dog person, but we have cat people. Did you know cats in the Bible? All right, that's why you have the Kit Kat bars, okay? Because we had cats in the Bible. Who had cats? Yes, yes, Daniel, of course. Daniel in the lion's den. Daniel, you know, the lion. Lion is a big... If we pay him now, will he shut up and let us go home? I know that's what you're thinking. All right, you got a bag of M&M's in there. All right? So M&M's are for... Martha and Mary, yes! Yay! Martha and Mary, two of Jesus' closest friends. Every time he was in Bethany, he was at their house. He knew it would be clean. He knew the food would be good. He loved that place. Martha and Mary. But a lot of you are going to remember the children's sermon I do with the M&Ms. Remember that? And they're blindfolded, and I give them the M&M, and they have to tell me what color it is. And, of course, you can't tell. You can't tell what color it is. Why? Because we're all the same inside. And that's part of the message Jesus was trying to tell us. Don't get all tied up about the outside appearances. It's what's inside of us, each of us. And it's all the same. We are all God's children. And each and one, that's our true identity. And when we claim that and remember that, then we're able to share that sweetness. And finally, there are lifesavers in there, okay? Because Jesus is saving lives through each of you. In your acts of ministry, in your thoughtfulness, in your prayers, and the ways that you extend kindness to other people, they are brought into God's presence and brought into God's grace. You indeed are the treat that the world needs. Because right now, people are kind of getting weary about being tricked all the time. It's really, really important that we get our opportunities to be able to share that. In the gospel story that Gloria read for us, if you're familiar with the gospel of Mark, then you know that throughout the gospel of Mark, the chief priests, the elders, the Pharisees, the Herodians, the Sadducees, and the scribes have all been trying to entrap Jesus. They've been trying to trick Jesus into a gotcha moment where he can say something and they can all point their finger at him and say, you know. But in our passage today, we get to meet the one and only good scribe. A scribe was a legal expert about the law. We get 19 references in the Gospel of Mark. This is the only good one that we hear about. And he asked Jesus a question. Which commandment is first? And you're thinking, why would he ask that question? Because by this time, there were 613 commandments. Think about that. 613 commandments. 248 positive commandments for each part of the body. 365 negative commandments, don't do this, for each day of the year. 613. Who thought this was a good idea? We couldn't even obey the one commandment. Remember when God said, don't touch that fruit. Leave that tree alone. And then we had the 10, and now they have 613. You got to be thinking, no wonder this poor scribe wanted to know. Out of those 613, which one is first? And so Jesus reduces 613 commandments down to do. Kind of like the Danny Gokey song, love God, love people. Don't make it complicated. That's all it's about. It's not about rules. It's about a relationship. Our love for God and our love for others, it's not a trick, it's a treat. It's a response to the love that we have already received. We are so filled with it that we cannot help but share it. Kind of like when somebody gives you a smile, then all of a sudden your day gets a little bit brighter and you pass that on. You've seen the ripple effect. You're in a happy mood. You're in a good mood. You just can't help. You let people come in front of you. Someone cuts you off in traffic and you're not using just one finger. You're using all five, you know, waving and being kind and being gentle like that. It's so much more about the fact that when we're not creating that love as much as we're returning it. You think about a parent, and you get blessed with a baby. And long before that baby even knows it has fingers, that baby knows that it's loved. You're just loving that baby. All it's doing is crying, eating, pooping, and if you're lucky, sleeping. That's all that baby does. And yet that parent just puts love and love and love on that child every time, holding the child, singing the child, just talking with that child, providing what that child needs. But before you know it, that baby grows up and does discover it has a hand. It does discover it has fingers. And it's coloring and it's drawing. And pretty soon you've got refrigerator art over every flat surface in your house. Have you ever seen how that looks? It's just everywhere. And pretty soon they start babbling. And then after they start babbling, they start talking. And once they start talking, they never shut up. They just keep going on and on and on and on and on. And they got this story, they got that, and they want to play this game, and they want to do that, and how come I can't have this, and where's that? And then pretty soon all you find out is that you don't even have a name. All you hear is, mom, 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 or dad, 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 hey, dad, dad. And you're just thinking, oh my God, what the hell, what was I thinking? I can't believe this is going on right now. But you still are loving. You are still loving. It's not a commandment. It's a relationship. It's not complicated. But sometimes it is hard. Sometimes it's hard. Their children get colic. That's hard. They have night terrors. That's hard. Sometimes there's unexpected expenses, like braces. I feel like going to God. I said, hey, this is a manufacturing defect. Isn't there some kind of a warranty? You should be paying. All right. None of you had, your kids had to have braces. You wait. When your kids have braces, you're going to be going to God saying, this is a manufacturing defect. The point is that God is our heavenly parent. And if God has a refrigerator, your picture is on it. If God has a wallet, your picture is in it. We're told in the Bible, God loves you so much, He actually sings over you. Sings over you. God loves us first, and then we love God back. And when we do, God all of a sudden begins to introduce us to God's other children. Because guess what? We're not an only child. God has a very large family. And if we're going to love God, then we're going to have to love God's children. And that means all of the children. And some of those children are a lot different than us. There was a story back in the early 60s. There's a big, white, formal, rich, conservative congregation. And it was right across the street from a college that specialized in protesting against the war, specialized protesting for women's rights and civil rights, and they could not have been more opposite each other. And yet, that's the way that community was, and that's the way that community went. And one Sunday morning, this rich, formal, white, conservative church is having its Sunday morning worship. And in the middle of the worship service, the choir has already sung, The minister gets up in the pulpit to begin his sermon, and in comes one of them college students. Young, black, male, huge afro, tie-dye shirt, torn jeans, sandals. And the church is packed. He can't find a seat, so he walks down the middle marble aisle and sits on the floor. And from the back comes Fred McKenzie. Fred McKenzie is the head usher of that church. He's on the board of trustees. Fred McKenzie served in World War II and Korea. He still carries fragments from a grenade in his hip. He walks with a cane. He's the president of the largest bank in town. And he's in charge of all the ushers. He's the one that makes sure every usher, when they show up for church on Sunday morning, that the white gloves are pressed, that the shirt is pressed, that the tie is a full Windsor knot, that the suit is cleaned and the shoes are polished, and there will be no slouching. Everybody standing ramrod straight. And Fred from the back begins to come forward. And the congregation can hear the click, click, click of his cane as he comes down. And everybody knows what he's going to do. Fred is not known for suffering fools, and this young man has totally disrupted the worship service. And Fred gets closer and closer, and when he gets to where that young man is, with great difficulty, he sits down next to him, reaches across, shakes his hand and says, "Hi, my name is Fred. Welcome." And the young man turns to Fred, shakes his hand back, and smiles, beams a big smile, and says, "My name is Charlie. Thank you." And the minister up there says, "What I'm about to say, you will not remember. What you just saw, you will never forget." To love God and love other people, even those who are different from us, who could not be further apart from us about how we think about politics or the social agendas or even in religion, that everyone means everyone and we're all part of God's family. We cannot possibly love God and not love God's children. It's a package deal. And God is telling us that. That's what God is trying to tell us. Love God. Love your neighbor. Of course, the first step is we have to receive it. Just like that infant. Before that infant ever does refrigerator, it's already received love. It's already received care. It's already received nurturing and nourishment and all kinds of blessings. And the same is for us. God loves us first. And God's love never, ever gives up on us. While we were yet sinners, God loves us. And even when we continue to sin, God loves us. God never stops loving us. He continues to love us all the time. God's love redeems us, it transforms us, and it empowers us to remind other people who may have forgotten. Because sometimes that happens. Sometimes people can forget. The story is told. Robert was advanced in age. The family was trying to let him stay in his home, but the dementia was getting worse and worse and worse. It's a small town. Everybody knows who Robert is. They're kind to him in the grocery stores, at the Targets and places like that. But his dementia is getting worse. And one time, the caregiver happens to be in the kitchen, and Robert gets out the front door and down the street. She doesn't know where he is. She has to call in. Neighborhood's fine. There he is, down at the city park, about a mile and a half from the home. Caregiver can't leave. What are we going to do with Robert? The daughter-in-law is called. The son is working. The daughter-in-law goes down to pick him up. And there he is, sitting on the bench, kind, gentle, no worries. She sits next to him, holds his hand, and says, "Why don't we go home?" And he smiles at her and says, "Okay." And they begin walking back home. And she's talking with him, entering into conversation with him. And it's become very clear. He doesn't know who she is. Even though she sees him every day. And as they're making their way home, she turns to him and says, You don't know me. You don't remember who I am." And Robert smiles and he says, "No. No, I don't. But I know that you love me. And that makes it all right." There are God's children out there, lost. And they may not know who you are. They might not know your name. All they know is that they are alone and they need someone to walk beside them, to lead them home, to a place that is secure and comfortable, to a place that reminds them that they are cared for, that they are loved, that they are precious to God's sight. You are the treat that the world needs. You're the ones who make a difference. You're the ones empowered by God's love, able to go out to love not just God, to love all of God's children, reminding them how much they are cared for. God's not trying to trip us up or trick us with 613 commandments. God is trying to give us a treat because He knows once you have truly, really received God's grace, once you've allowed that love inside your life, you will never be the same. And that change not only changes you, it has a ripple effect. It begins to change others, the ones that you care for, the ones that you pray for, the ones that you meet every day. You're the treat when you share God's grace. Amen.